There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
1207 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Well, it's coming up today. You want to interact with the show? It's pretty easy. The two easiest ways. There are others. Two easiest ways to call or text at 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Plus, if you got the FM Talk 106.5 app, first of all, you're cool because you got the app. But second of all, you have that microphone icon right there on the front page. All you got to do is press that microphone button, records a message, emails it back here to the station. All right, we can play it back here on the air. Also coming up on today's show, we'll talk a little bit about the weekend ahead and some things going on the weekend. We'll preview those later on in the show, but I want to start off and lead off batter on today's Midday Mobile and going back and forth in text, actually, with this man, and then emails, and then more text with the man. I'm going to have you pull the microphone close to you. It is a continuation of Veterans Month. Remember, we do this all November long. Veterans Day was Tuesday. It was awesome to be out there with y'all, but for us, it's the whole month honoring our local veterans. And Melvin Bell joins me in studio. Mr. Bell, thanks for coming in here.
Well, I appreciate it.
And
having me, Sean.
And it's good to have you in here as well. So as we get started here, a veteran, I'm going to guess, I take context clues. We'll see. I know that he wouldn't do this if it wasn't real. I see the crest on your shirt there. You are a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, there you go. The Cannon Cockers. I like that. We're going to have to get a picture of that shirt here. At reunion in Las Vegas. Good stuff. I can only imagine what Las Vegas looked like after a Marine Corps reunion. You know, y'all are good at, like, breaking stuff.
Well, that's the only thing they teach us how to do.
I'll say to you and the other Marine friends, I said this week, they were pointing out, well, it's our 250th birthday. Y'all don't look a year over 246, you Marines.
That's because all the crayon we eat on the weekends.
First of all, as we get started, thank you for your service to our country.
I appreciate it, but thank y'all for acknowledging us.
This community, this is natural to me. But when we saw some things come up in the state this year, I realized the rest of our state, maybe other areas of the country, aren't. I mean, we grew up here with a battleship in our backyard. You know, to me, having this robust South Alabama Veterans Commission and all the others is a normal thing. And then to look around the state and probably around the country, that it's not this way everywhere.
No, because even in, I was stationed at Camp Pendleton back in the day. And the closest they got was the Queen Mary.
Okay. But it's an environment here, I think, because there's a lot of folks that retire from the military, come here, even if they're not from here, they end up here. You meet a lot of retired military folks who are like, oh, I'm from Michigan or I'm from, you know, California or whatever. And then so many, Alabama as a state, we send as a percentage, I think, second to the most folks to the military of any state in the Union.
That is true.
And it's reflected here. I'll start off with this, too. I want to talk about your career, but let's talk about the start of your career. I asked this question first of many, many years ago, and people know many years ago because he has not been around in a while, but I asked this of a Marine that folks around here will know, Dr. Sidney Phillips.
Yes.
And it started with a conversation he and I had. Tell me about the day that you and Eugene Sledge signed up for the Marine Corps. He told his enlistment story. So since then on, 16 years, I've been asking, first question, your enlistment story. How'd that happen?
Well, really, it started out in high school. That was me and three friends. We was in ROTC together.
Okay.
And many of your listeners might know one of them. It was Paul Hubbard. He was the fireman who got ran over. They named the station down there.
Yes.
That was one of my three amigos, me, him, and my friend James Brown.
not the legendary James Brown, but...
he was named James Brown.
And pretty cool.
Well, we agreed when we was in school, because I was in the band. They was ROTC the whole time. And we was all going to go in the Marine Corps together.
Okay.
Well, Paul was the only one that got past the physical.
So wait a second. So three go for the physical, and only Paul makes
it. Passed it.
Okay.
So we decided. I think James ended up going in the Army.
Okay.
And I decided later that I was going to go ahead and go in the Army also.
Okay.
But before school, before we could finish high school, though, I got this letter in the mail one day before I supposed to went up to the MEP Center.
Mm-hmm.
It says I had a scholarship to Florida A&M University.
Okay.
Band scholarship. So I called a recruiter. He goes, "You ready to go?" I'm like, "I got a scholarship."
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to go to
what'd
college.
What'd you play? What'd you play in the band?
Actually, I played flute.
Okay.
I've been still. I can say that. You say it's funny. But
you see Mr. Bell, Bereed, who played the flute.
42 years this year.
They didn't see that coming.
I still have my original one I had in high school, and my original flute has been on all but one of my 7 deployments I've been on.
You took your flute on deployment?
I took it on deployment with me, including my last deployment I had with Enduring Freedom back in 1718 of this with the Army National Guard.
The flute playing Marine. So you decide, okay, so you're going to go in the Marine Corps, but you got this scholarship that says, hey, man, we're going to pay for you to go to college to come play in the band.
Yeah, so I
it's
took
gotta
that.
It's got to be a dream, huh?
I took that instead.
Okay.
But Florida A&M isn't the school I wanted to go to. I wanted to go to Grambling.
Okay.
But, and to make a long story short on that, I ended up meeting my first wife at that time. And I wasn't working. I was sitting at home. Then I got this phone call up. He said, "Hey, this is Sergeant Anderson."
Okay.
With the Marine Corps Recruiting Office. "You still interested in going into the Marine Corps?" And I was sitting on the sofa. I go, "Sure, why not?"
How old were you then?
21, 22.
Okay.
And so I said, "Okay." He said, "I'll come pick you up if you need to." I said, "Okay." So went down there, re-SFAB. Everything was good. Went through everything I needed to go through. And he said, "When you want to leave?" I said, "Whenever." So
he told the Marine Corps recruiter whatever. He said, "How about tomorrow?"
He said he set everything up, and we went down to the MEP Center, and I went down there, passed my physical, came back.
Okay, so as an older kid, you passed the physical that you didn't pass right out of high school.
Yes.
Okay.
Then when we got back, he said, so now you're going to have to break the news to your wife. I said, you tell her.
Yeah, you're the Marine. Go ahead.
You know. And at the time, she didn't like Marines because she had dated one a couple of years before she met me. So she went, okay. And not too long after that, I left for Marine Corps training in Parris Island.
And that's year what? What year is that?
That was actually in 86.
86. Okay. You go in there, 86, there have been some movies made about that period as well in Marine Corps boot camp. Nothing easy.
You know what? I will put it this way. My expectation for the physicality of the Marine Corps in training was way up here. But the actual physical aspect of the training fell way short of my expectation. But the mental aspect of it, I was not expecting, was not prepared for.
And give us, like, for civilians out there, people who aren't Marines, what part of that? Like,
what a lot of it, everybody think the Marine Corps is all about me lift truck, ha, 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 me carry gun.
Yes.
And actually, they wanted people who can handle the stress. So a lot of the things they did was actually they used to weed people out as being stressed, putting stress on you. Sometimes it wasn't that you did something. Is your partner did something, and now you're going to pay for it.
So we see that in the movies. That really did. That's how it's done.
That really took place. In a sense, though, it's like one person messed up, everybody else pay, but the person who messed up,
which is the worst.
It's the worst thing that happened. One, for instance, believe it or not, we had a guy who was in our platoon. You know what got him? What kicked it, got him put out of the Marine Corps?
What?
He fell down, broke down because he did not know how to make a bed. He was one of those raised with a nanny. He had never made a bed in his life until he got to basic training.
He's a man. He's over 18. He's never made a bed.
Never made a bed. And all the other stuff we got him through, it was just funny. He thought why we had to wear the same color clothes every day, why we had to shower together every day, why do we have to do this every morning so early? But he got through all that. But he could not get those hospital corners of that bed tight enough to act for those for real, be able to bounce a quarter off of it. And one day he broke
that
down.
Was it. That was it.
That broke him mentally.
Not the PT, not the other.
Not the PT, not the stress, not the running up and down the stairs with mattress, not the doing the salute with the foot lockers and none of that stuff. Making a bed broke his will and
wow.
He quit.
It is. It's a thing, you know. I was talking about the other day. Recruiting levels coming back up, and one of the things growing up and watching Marines and different is the stress and the things you go through to become a Marine or different parts of the military. I think is a good thing. I think for outside looking to go in. I mean, you want to go into something that's tough because the time I see you in a uniform as a Marine, it tells me something without you having to tell me something, right? And I think as demands go back up, I think people are going, okay, I think I can do the challenge.
Well, a lot of the challenge you find out in the Marine Corps, there's actually three sides to the Marine Corps. You have what they call the division side, which is combat arms. Mm-hmm. Then you have base, which is all the support elements. And then you have the wing section. Now, you'll see a lot of times you see people, that we used to get mad at this because you hear all these guys be out in the field, they doing all this training. They're going, yeah, we do this training. We need to do it more often. All the division Marines who spend all their life in the field and always the ones supporting going like, how come they never interview us? We will tell them the truth. When you go on and
they're
spend
lying.
Yeah, they're like, what are they talking about? We've been doing this for the whole month.
Right.
They talking about how great 2 weeks is in the field. We going to 29 pounds for 3 months living out of a truck in the desert. What are y'all talking about? So it's different aspects of it. And to me, everybody played a role in everybody, and everybody plays a role in what's going on. But I was a division Marine, combat arms, my entire enlistment, which means I out of my 10-year stay, I spent five of those deployed.
Five
of those deployed.
Wow. Wow. And you talk about it went through Enduring Freedom was your last.
No. Enduring Freedom was when I went to the National Guard. I was during my 10 years in the Marine Corps.
Right.
Five of those years, I was deployed. I was deployed with the MEB out on the Pacific. So I deployed in 87, 88. 89, I crossed decks. That means I didn't come back to the States. I crossed decks in Hawaii and went out with another MEB for 89.
You didn't even come home.
Didn't come back. Didn't come home. Came back and then deployed in 90. We were home in 90. We got back July 90 from a 6 months deployment on ship. And August 90, we were gone to Desert Storm, mm-hmm. Shield.
Yep.
Shield. We was home like 23 days. And then we went left in August of that same year, deployed for Desert Shield, came back in May of 91. And the unit I would have been with, the unit I came back to deployed again in late 91, 92. They deployed against the Somalia.
Wow.
So during that time period, there was a lot of deployments going on, just like during for this Iraqi freedom. There's mm-hmm. a lot of Marines that played a lot of parts that constantly deployed. Like we had, it was like we were like it's for when we first left, came home, we came back to work for PT in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gear was laid out on the deck. We're going like, what? Somebody going to the field? We get there and they goes, get dressed. We got to get them on the bus.
What?
All right, so we got dressed, got them on the bus. We found they was going 29 pounds to fly out to go to Desert Shield. Then by day, they said, you got any gear here? Nope, go home. Went home, grabbed our gear out of our closets we had there. Came back, and we were on the bus by noon.
Wow.
And that's all the notification we had for that for our deployment. Some Marines didn't even get that notice. They did whatever they didn't have. They left it. They left without it. That's how sometimes our notifications come for deployment. Wow. And other times we usually say we're going somewhere. We hurry up and we get there. And 12 hours later, we sleep. We sleep on the ground somewhere. But this time it was just instantaneously. But I spent 10 years there. I also served in recruit training.
Yes.
Marksmanship and coaching for recruit training for MCRD San Diego. That was fun. The best time I ever had in the Marine Corps.
I wanted to talk about that. We're coming back from the break. More with Melvin Bell, Marine Corps. He's a Marine, forever a veteran of the Marine Corps, but always a Marine. Well, you can tell just sitting with the man. We'll continue the conversation next, right after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Continue Veterans Month and a conversation with a man who, he's in the Marine Corps. He's about to tell us he gets back into service to our country, which is not surprising, Mr. Bell, because so many veterans I know continue to give back. But first, though, you're talking about range work. And this is, the point of the spear, Marine Corps, and being able to shoot is legendary. It's legendary. So if you're teaching people to shoot, then your shooting's pretty darn good.
Well, I always thought that if you were teaching, there was a lot of coaches downrange that were marksmen, not sharpshooters, not experts, but they could teach someone how to shoot, and they were good at it. And there was some who would shoot great, and they would just be like, why are you even down here? Well, right. Anyway, it was strange. Like I was saying earlier, we were talking, like, when I worked down at MCRD San Diego as a marksmanship instructor, I was the only one in our entire company that taught it that did not own a weapon.
And I asked you at the break, how'd you get good if you didn't own a weapon?
Well, the thing about it is, when I first started in the Marine Corps, my first weapon was an M60 machine gun.
Okay, a big one.
As a personal weapon. That means everywhere I went, including sleep, I strapped this 25-pound weapon on me and took it everywhere I went.
You got the build to carry it. I'll give you that.
Oh, well, no. When I first got this weapon, I was maybe still 6 feet and about 155 pounds.
I wonder you had the build now from carrying it.
So that's where we started. And as an instructor, we learned how to shoot all the small arms weapons because that's what we taught for recruits and regular Marines. So it was much fun. But recruit training, I think, was most gratifying because you could see the results of your work right then.
Yes.
You see the light come on in somebody's eyes.
You had moment. You're like, I made a difference with this kid.
Yes, because you had to become a social worker and everything for them. You had to figure out what make them work. Mm-hmm. Would make them tick and not look like shoot yourself in the foot while trying to show them something like standing at 200 yards and shooting the target standing up with whatever they got on their weapon,
right,
and not missing. So they can't hit. Give me that weapon. I'll show you. The last thing you think in your mind, Lord, don't let me miss
this. you talked about this. So after you come back to Mobile, 99 or so?
I got back here, and I got out. Once I got out, I worked out in California for a couple of years, and then in 99, I moved back here.
Okay.
And I ended up with a job working with the post office in 2001. And while I was working there, I had some alumni from – I went to Williamson High School.
Okay, there you go.
And some alumni who was also former Marines, Marines who was working there, he said, I put my stripes back on. You all put yours on. Go ahead and get that retirement. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. He said, man, go to guard. You'll enjoy it. So I let him talk me into going back, putting the stripes on and in the guard. So I did 18 years in the guard, and wow. I retired just 2.5 years ago.
But we thank you for your service to our country. I mean, it's awesome. And it's awesome that our community here of veterans is so robust. And there's men like you and women out there that serve our country and continue to come back and then put the stripes back on and go to the Guard. It's a testament.
Well, I didn't go back to combat arms, though. I went into communications this time.
See, with age comes wisdom, right?
Work smarter, not harder.
That's correct. What do you, as we close out here, got a minute here. Your view of, like, the kids these days, like, you're looking at the, you know, the 18-year-old Melvins of today. What do you tell them?
Well, I guess I'll tell them the same thing I told my son. He went in the Guard for about 7 years. 7 years is that. It is what you make of it. It's a chance, opportunities to do things that you probably won't get a chance to do anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And not many people will get an opportunity to be a part of it. Like, you can go in, you come out there with this fresh, where it's as simple like this. I was supposed to have been going in as a computer technician. And, you know, you go to school, you get all these degrees, and you get all you, and all it is you go to school to take these tests to get these certifications. Mm-hmm. Well, while working in National Guard in the communications field, I got all the certifications, but I never happened to go to school.
I like it.
Because I had to have them to operate with the equipment that I operated. So they required us to get all these certifications. And they said, what you going to do with them? I said, enjoy them while I can.
Well,
but
said.
I tell them the opportunities are there to serve your country, get an education, and do some things that you can talk about to your grandkids.
Well,
and I would not have changed a thing.
Well, we appreciate you telling us about it. Mr. Melvin Bell, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Shauna. It's nice to be on the show. But the mailman will continue to text in.
There he is, the mailman.
Washington.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35.